There you go. Working.
Okay. It is June 17th, 2020. In compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building, distributed to the 100 in Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the 100 in County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Would you all please rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence in honor of our first responders and our police department. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Before we jump into the agenda, I would just like to make a special note of special residents in Lebanon Township. Patricia and Alan Nichols have lived in the township for 52 years, and tomorrow they celebrate their 60th wedding anniversary. Oh. So we congratulate them and wish them continued joy. And with that, first item will be the presentation of minutes. I would like to table the executive session minutes from June 3rd so we can discuss them in executive session, potentially take action on approving them after executive session. So the before us would be the minutes of the regular meeting on June 3rd, if anyone has any comments. Could you please mute your phone if you're not muted?
Star 5.
Hello. Hello, could you please mute yourself? I think there was a mess up in how I got in. So I don't know that I can.
Oh, that you can't because it's not. You're not as the host?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay. So any comments on the minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting on June 3rd, 2020.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And just for the people at home, Committeeman Wonder is absent this evening. He had a last-minute issue that allowed him not to be here, so you won't hear his voice. Next would be the opportunity to open the meeting to public comment limited to items on tonight's agenda. There'll be another public comment later in the meeting. And a reminder to everyone that this meeting is recorded and would be posted on the website in the next day or so. Is there a motion to open to public comment?
I'll make a motion to open to public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. At this time, if anyone who's dialing in would like to make a comment limited to agenda items only, please unmute yourself, identify yourself, the road you live on, and you could make a comment.
Hearing none, I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So then the first resolution on our agenda, Resolution 43, 2020. This is authorizing the clerk to endorse outdoor dining. The governor's executive order 150 allowed restaurants, cafeterias, dining establishments, food courts, and other holders of retail consumption privileges to offer in-person service in outdoor areas. It requires a modification in many cases of their liquor license, and so this resolution allows the clerk is hereby authorized, municipal clerk hereby authorized to review and issue, if appropriate, endorsements to the New Jersey Alcohol NJABC for outdoor dining prior to the same being authorized via resolution at the next regularly scheduled meeting. This is so that we don't hold anybody up by some few days or even a week or so if they're able to reopen part of their restaurant or bar establishment. Any discussion or a motion for Resolution 43-2020?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 43-2020, authorizing the clerk to endorse outdoor dining prior to a meeting.
A second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 And not that it matters, but we don't charge anything for that. It's just an endorsement, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
And do they need to come and get a permit or anything? Is that how it's going to work? Or
what I understand, what I've understood through the state, although I'm told there was a lot of confusion that this rolled out, They go through the state to get that permit. It's just an endorsement at our level, and I believe there's a $75 fee in some cases. But that, in some cases, meaning if you already had a full premises license, then you might not need it, from what I've heard. At any rate, it's being done at the state unless towns need to allow use of sidewalk or close
that's
a road.
That's
then
what
it would be municipal, but
I, saw some
I don't believe that'll apply to us.
Ordinances they have. They deal
yeah, they're allowing it to extend into publicly owned property, parks, sidewalks,
wow.
and roadways. And that's
it's not clear that that applies to any of our
Right.
Next on the agenda is Resolution 44-2020, appointing a tax collector. We will table that until after executive session, where there may be potential action on that matter, which takes us to old business. And the first item of old business relates to our municipal park and the stage and the volleyball plans. And we have here tonight the chairman of our park committee, Eric Petrick.
Should I sit here? I mean, I can talk louder. It's fine.
I think if you still move forward, that'll be.
All right.
And is it fair to also introduce you as the head of the Friends of Memorial
Park?
Yeah,
chair of the Friends,
sure. Okay.
My name is Eric Petrick. I live at 7 Boulderfield Road here in Lebanon Township. I'm chairman of the Township Park Committee and chairman of the non-for-profit Friends of Memorial Park that take care of the management of the park. Myself and a group of townspeople got together and we started to organize a plan to erect the stage for the park that in past fundraisers and talking to, you know, people who have been a part of that, a stage was something that they wanted. So we got together and did that. We had plans drawn up by Ezio Colombro, and we were trying to orchestrate, like, breaking ground on this prior to the COVID, and we were making some headway in that. And Paul Spatz was going to step on board. He's volunteering his expertise, his equipment, his time, and he was going to take the volleyball courts, which is going to be the site of the new stage, and move them down to the front of the concession stand. I believe they met with Steve Reese.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they did all that planning.
And just to fill in on that, last year this committee approved to have Steve Reese, the township engineer, do that engineering work, take some survey work of the two locations, figure out what would be required, stake out the locations. I know we talked with Paul Spatz about some practical input, and he went ahead on the town's behalf to get the soil conservation permit in place.
Okay.
So that part's already been
great.
Previously approved.
Yeah, and I guess recently he got a hold of you, Mike, and I reached out to him. He just got back to me. So he had a window of opportunity. And again, you know, he's volunteering his time, his expertise, his equipment, his guys, everything. So I guess what happened was it wasn't approved, which is what we're working on doing tonight. And I guess when I spoke to you, one of the concerns was the time frame. Especially with the people who use it regularly. He just got back to me. He said that his window of opportunity kind of got closed, so he'll be working Saturdays on it. He said it's a six-day project, so we're looking best bet month and a half. If there's some bad weather, maybe 2 months. But that he'll be moving those volleyball courts to in front of the concession stand on the side of Bundle. So that
presumably, if he starts some work in front of the concession stands, the existing volleyball courts aren't closed the full 6 weeks. I could imagine.
I don't know how he's going to do it. I mean, I just kind of touched base with him here and there. I guess he's busy right now, and I could find out if he could give a schedule of when they might be usable. Like, yeah. Maybe, what you're saying is do one piece of the project.
Or at least start then, on, yeah.
Right, so that it doesn't affect these guys. Yeah. It's a minimal effect on them. I can run that by yeah. him, and I'm sure that there's...
I assume it's possible, yeah.
Yeah, because Charlie Suppo, he was a contact for the volleyball group. So he never contacted me, but I'll call him and maybe I'll just reach out to him.
Because
it might be nice to get them on board, too, and I spoke to you about that.
Yep.
You know, like bring them into the loop now, because really we had no idea where this was going. And then Paul just, you know, I guess he saw an opportunity to get it done. And, and then with that, too, as far as the approval, I don't...
So as I understood it, while he's working on moving the volleyball courts, and the committee has the plans for the survey work that Steve Reese did, so of the
mm-hmm.
of the new location, first page we have in blue is
right.
behind the concession stand. Apparently there's some cut and fill and some work that would be done to prepare the location for the stage.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah,
was... As
he's
going to
take the topsoil and stockpile the topsoil, yeah.
Well, so here's the discussion I had with Paul Spatz. He wanted to do some elevation work for the stage, which mm-hmm. was also included in here on the drawings from Steve Reese, and relocate the volleyball court. And I had the discussion because, as I understand it, the stage, the actual construction of the stage isn't ready to start immediately.
No.
So it's not that he's going to open up trenches for footings or anything, because nothing can wait. He told me he would leave the stage area in a condition that it can still be mowed. He'd throw grass seed and hay it. So if it's 2 months or if it's a year, it's not an eyesore. It's going to be mowed over. But, you know, I think we need to anticipate that it could take time before the stage comes up.
Right.
So there'll be work done up there.
Right.
We don't want to have a snow fence around this area like we have the playground right now.
and he said that wouldn't be a problem to leave it in that condition.
What about the volleyball guys?
Well, they should have the new court.
Oh, the new court will be built.
Yeah.
But that's what we're describing.
There'll be
a month or two mm-hmm. when we might be without a volleyball court. Now, I have spoken to the volleyball people
I'll reach. I mean, I just got the text on the timeline today.
Yep.
He was trying to avoid that, but, you know, his window closed now.
Yep.
And as far as the stage goes, we still have to fundraise.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And given the... you know, the whole circumstance of everything now. It's kind of got to get a little creative. But we already have some ideas in mind with that.
Well, we have been provided with the current status of the architectural drawings on the stage, because mm-hmm. I wanted the committee to also know if we're doing some excavation for it, it starts to become much more real. We're not asking for final sign-off on look and feel and elevation of the stage, but I think you should know the pink sheets that you have are the current concept, the size of the stage.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it looks to be, where did I see that? It looks to be a little over 30 feet wide. Could be 40 by 30. I might be looking at side elevations.
So 30.
Yeah, 38
yeah,
by
yeah.
Okay, so the vote that we would take tonight, and it would be subject to Paul sending over his insurance information.
Right,
he
right.
is volunteering, doing it at no cost to the Friends of Memorial Park or to the township. And just so that any residents know, Paul and his family have done a lot of work over the past 15 years building this park. Through donations.
Pretty much built it. Yeah.
And the only cost that when I spoke to him, Friends would cover whatever material, like extra sand, mm-hmm. ties, anything, any materials in addition to what he can't salvage, mm-hmm. I guess, over there. So that's covered.
Okay. Very good. So this is a chance to ask questions about the stage design.
Yeah, the plan we're looking at for the actual... Mm-hmm. stage, is that a prefabricated, or what are you looking for?
Here's the thing with money and planning and going forward, it's what what we're planning now is Ezio has a guy in mind to do the foundation. He's got an Amish outfit that he works with. So they would do the timber structure.
Mm-hmm.
And then Weiler from Aegis.
Yes, Rick.
He would do the roof because it's a special roof we want on there. So it's kind of piecemeal.
Right.
But it's just so that we can make sure, A, things are done right. They're done at some kind of affordable cost to us. And anybody, would...
So has Mr. Colombo, the architect, kind of taken an overseeing the project?
What I was told was that Rick Weiler, who is in the business of building businesses, is offering to donate his services as a general contractor,
Someone putting all the pieces together.
We kind of had a meeting about that. Must have been March 13th.
Right.
And we all met at Doreen's house and... Everything was okay, and then it was boom.
Yeah.
So I'd have to touch base.
Yeah, everyone's going to have to reorganize.
I have my notes, but we have to sit down and compare our notes and see what's going on. But that sounds,
So that's kind of getting ahead of it right now.
Yeah.
Other than you guys going back and getting, it all together. But the site work is what we're talking about.
Right. Yeah. The key thing here is getting the site work, so then that Paul, when he has the opportunities.
Right.
And it's covered on our end. He's covered as a volunteer. His insurance is on the record and everything like that. So there's
that Saturdays. He needs Saturdays
right.
to get this done.
And Eric, this design that Ezio did, was it based on the two Januaries ago meeting that we walked the park with him and we talked? Because I still have all the notes from that. Was the ADA compliant, or was that just kind of tossed aside and he started from scratch?
No. We went out there. I don't know if you were in the... when we met up there and
the snow was on the ground.
Everything. Yeah, we marked everything, and then that's when he went up with Steve and they kind of did the drawing. He's got the markings in the body.
But I think it was probably based on the first meeting that we went out there with him.
It could have been.
Because
I met with him on and off just looking at different things.
These plans do have an ADA ramp.
That's what I was...
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's on
we
here.
Talked
yeah.
about all that.
So these are the plans that we'd be working off of.
And okay. part of the whole, with Paul grading that at a certain level.
Right.
Because we want to avoid putting the railing on the stage.
Yeah.
So we need that 30. Got it.
Yeah, 30, 28 to 30 inches, right.
I think I'm going to dig up those notes I took because it had a lot. And I'll just...
But, I just want to be clear about this, whole circumstance and how it happened. My takeaway from this is now, as we proceed, instead of you getting a call from Paul saying, yeah, we're ready to go forward, once we get to, once we secure this foundation, whoever's doing the foundation, which is, going to be the next step, then that's when we sit here, we get it approved, and then when we get that done. Is this going to be like...
Well, it depends on your contractors. If you have multiple different contractors, you also have to approve and make sure they have the insurances.
Okay, this is what I need to know.
We also have to have a permit.
Right, the town has to get a permit, too, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, even though we're a town, we still have to pull permit.
Yeah, I just want to know...
We don't pay for it, but we still have to pull it.
I need, what the next step is.
I think Rick, if he's the GC, I'm using that lightly, but if he would then, with the architect... put some a package sheet together for the building department, get these over to the building department. Would Rick be doing that? Would it be with the town here?
Or Ezio, I don't know.
Anyways, I think you guys need to start discussing a building permit and what permits are needed, all right, and come to the town, and then we'll figure out how we're going to do this.
Well, because you're bringing electric out there too, right?
But we're not...
It all has to be inspected. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
I think he's asking about committee approval, because we're not going to approve each step like that.
No.
What I see happening is we have the offer right now for the site work.
Right.
That's tonight's vote.
Right.
Then I think what we need, the next step we'll need is when Friends of the Park comes and has the financing and the full plan from start to finish ready to go, then you present that to us and we sign off on that. Because what we need to avoid is that we have, the foundation and some columns, And then what?
See the way so I'm
we're just going to, but I think we're going to do one approval to get the whole thing done.
Yeah, I think the township committee would, but I think what I'm hearing is it may be like the foundation gets done, and then there might be a delay, and then
that might be exactly.
And that's what I'm hearing right now. Well, you know, which is fine
if that's
as long as it goes through a building permit process and the footings get inspected and so on and so forth. The whole building is inspected. It just may not happen like, you know, in 6 months or I don't know. I'm just
right.
You know,
well, hopefully we have a timeline. Our hope is that we get the foundation, the timber structure put up, and Rick can put that roof.
Yeah, you need the roof
because
on there.
With that, we're thinking, you know, once the foundation's done, he said his guys in PA can come in and get that.
I bet.
In a day.
Within a couple days,
and
boom.
Then Rick can put the roof
and
on.
That protects
so,
the.
But then after that, that's going to be probably us putting the siding on and doing the windows and all the finish work.
Right.
Charlie's probably, you know, I'm sure he's going to know what to do as far as the township would permit
right.
and stuff like that. But that's what we're kind of looking at. That's why it might take time. Because, you know, we have a couple builders in the area who are willing to help with all the finish work.
Yep.
And then maybe adding stuff to that. So, I mean, and that's going to have to, you know, that's going to be contingent on fundraising and stuff like that. But if what you're looking for is our plan for the foundation, timber structure, and roof, then that's what we'll work on. I just want to know what we need to that.
This seems to me to be your plan. And this would be based at the engineering and at the building department. This is what they'd be looking at and approve, this plan.
All
that's
right.
what it might have to be a sealed set. I'm not sure. You know,
right,
the architect may have to pass a sealed set to them. I'm not sure how it works with a township.
But I think when you come back to this committee, you need to tell us, here's our plan to get to a logical point, which
okay.
what you just described.
Right. Right.
Here's our contractors, here's our timeline. We're going to get the foundation, timbers, roof.
And then we're looking for help.
And here's what it's eventually going to be, but we're going to get other volunteers, whatever else, for the
right.
finish work.
Okay, so as much information on how we're going to get this done.
Yes.
And a tentative time frame,
yep.
I guess. That would probably...
I mean, just to
that
give
us...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think we need confidence that we're not going to have a long-term construction site, so we need to know that it gets to...
Yeah, sure.
You know,
yeah,
no. Logical
plan. And the big thing with this is, and it sounds, you know, because of the insurance company, is the more information you provide us with contractors that are either just working, volunteering, days you're having, because this is outside of the normal park stuff. When you get to a point when you know you're going to be having work events and things like that,
okay.
especially
right.
with volunteers that aren't part of your normal group,
right.
we need to know that so here we can approve that. So they're covered with the insurance. It's to protect
right.
them.
Okay. Yeah,
you know.
That's clear how in how we need to proceed.
Right.
The information you guys need. No, I got it. All right. Good.
So that's, you know, that's the big thing. It's just so that, you know, it's not to be, you know, it's hard. It's so it's to make sure everybody is covered. Because
well,
the insurance company has been,
yeah.
we need to know. And
yeah.
so if we announce it here... It's covered. It's then
yeah.
part of record that they're
yeah,
covered.
Yeah, because when I got the message last week, it was like, oh, my God, I had no idea. It kind of blindsided me, but it was good news. But
right.
it's like, what do we do with this? You know?
Right.
I just want to look to the attorney to see if you're fine with everything we're discussing in terms of...
We're aware of how to do this, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, and,
yep.
and we can offer guidance. And I think one of the key things is, as we said, we need a comprehensive timeline / understanding. We need to build off of the pink copy here. But we also need to make sure that in the segmentation that there's proper steps if it has to be put on ice, so to speak.
Oh, right, yeah.
That we're not midpoint in a certain part of the process.
I agree
My concern
with that.
More from a safety standpoint, but I'm sure others,
yeah, yeah.
that it could be damaged. Like, it could go backwards, so to speak.
Yeah.
I'm more concerned that we don't leave it for any period of time in a kids are going to find it. You know, kids are going to find it, and it, that we
mind.
Yeah, we make sure that in that time frame between start and finish. I mean, obviously, when the foundation goes in, we know when that's complete. But even that'll draw attention,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I've seen that in the past where that becomes a magnet for non-stage activity.
I hate to see it damaged,
right.
You said.
Yeah.
You know?
Damaged or someone injured. I wonder if there would be a safety fence of some kind to keep at the end of
at
it.
At that point. Yeah. Right,
I'm thinking hopefully what's on around the playground might.
Yeah, move it up there.
You got one ready to go.
And if you need to add the electrical, we do have that basic. 2 years ago, I called somebody in town that has a restaurant that has a big stage and has bands playing.
Oh, right.
So I wrote that up, and it's all in the email, so we can always put that. And Charlie had seen it. Everybody had seen it, so.
Yeah.
So for tonight's consideration, any more comments, discussion about the site plan?
No.
I think that's good.
A motion to approve. Subject to providing the insurance.
And we're talking about the Bear Reese engineered site plan.
Yes.
I'll make a motion to approve that. To move
to relocate the volleyball court and do excavating work for the stage.
As said.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you, Eric.
So we'll have more dialogue on the pink sheet for the blue sheet.
Yes, absolutely. All right.
Is Karine on the phone? Did she come in? Do you know
No, she didn't. Yeah. So
we're good.
We're done.
Thank you, Eric.
Good luck. Take care.
So the next item we have is our what's now a regular update on the COVID situation. Let me start with a couple of every other Wednesday now we have a conference call with mayors from the Hunterdon and Warren and Sussex counties and a member of the governor's office. So what he gave us tonight was that indoor gatherings, as we know, are now restricted or they're now indoor gatherings are allowed at 25% of the capacity of a building, room, or 50 people, the lower of either one. Outdoor capacity on June 22nd, next week, is scheduled to increase to 250 people in a single gathering, and on July 3rd to 500 people. And they said the capacity for inside meetings will be increasing on kind of a similar timeline, probably by percentage of, might go from 25 to 40% of a room or something like that. So over the next several weeks, we can see that increasing. Specifically to playground areas, they said those still have to be closed off. They're considered high contact services, so those are closed off. But they did say, the timeline that they gave, they said the intention is by mid-July that all businesses in the state will be open to some level. By Labor Day, they expect businesses to be open to some higher capacity, but they said if businesses and events and things won't be to 100% capacity until we have a vaccine or a clear therapeutic or something. That's the current track they're working on. So indoor dining at restaurants and things should be allowed somewhere between mid-July and Labor Day, but they won't be up to 100% capacity. So that, at a very big level, that's it. Related to Lebanon Township, last meeting we reported that the DPW was back on a regular schedule, and people may have seen the crews have been working around the town. They're starting on their road work and the like. The employees in the municipal building came back this past
Last Monday.
So they've been in full time, and part of that is, doing the work that has to be done, but also going through planning for opening the building to the public, putting in Lexan shields and the like. And so the administrator can talk a little bit more about that, but I think we're looking for an early July reopening of the building under new rules. As part of all that, I would point out that our Board of Adjustment is scheduled to resume meetings on June 24th. They can now have, I believe it's an 18-person capacity in this room, so we anticipate that will allow Board of Adjustment meetings. Returning a little bit life to normal, June 27th, people may be aware, is our, I call fondly, our dumpster day, our town cleanup day. That is scheduled to be on, so that's coming up in 2 weeks. So things are starting to get back to some sense of operation. I wouldn't necessarily call it normal, but we're starting to back. On the other big picture, Lebanon Township has remained flat at 16 reported cases since the pandemic started, so I don't believe in the past 3 weeks there's been one additional case reported. Still no deaths in Lebanon Township. The governor's also, they gave another number. One of the key statistics that they're tracking is the number of new cases that result from a reported case. And I believe they said in early April when things were peaking, they were getting about five new cases for one. So one person was sort of catching five people. Five people were catching from the one person who had it is the statistics that they had. Currently, they're bouncing between about 0.5 and 0.7, or I think 0.8, something like that. Fractionally, less than one. So when they find somebody who has it, less than one person statistically is getting it. That's the key metric they're watching. As long as that stays below one, they'll keep easing these restrictions because that means we won't flood the system. Obviously, eventually it dies out if you keep it below one forever. But that's what they're watching. That's what they're working toward. Unless anybody else has anything, we can let... I mean, I'm not stopping that discussion, but this would then tie into the administrator update.
I was just going to ask a question about the... So the capacity is 18 people in this room, including, like, so in other words, if the whole planning board is here, then you only, you have a lot. So exactly. How do we handle, or how, we haven't discussed this yet, people that come, and are you going to cut off people, the first come, first serve?
You would handle it just like we've had in the past when we've had capacity problems.
You don't, I mean, people can,
well, worst case scenario.
Yeah.
I mean, people can choose to leave, people can choose to rotate. But if it's in the judgment of the board, whether it be this board or another board, that the interests of the public aren't being served, if there's an application, there's certainly the rights of both the applicant and the objectors would have to be taken into account. So it's basically the same thought process that occurs no matter how big the room is. Right. Unfortunately, as you've stated, That's a tight room when you put the board and the professionals in. It shouldn't trigger on routine matters, but we've all been in school auditoriums in the past, and most towns have. And
I just think you should be ready for it, just whatever the plan is going to be, because people's, you know, they're testy right now too, and I can just imagine somebody coming in and saying, "I have every right to be here," and then what are we going to do?
Yeah.
So have the plan ready.
Yeah, the guidelines don't. You know, the executive orders don't, they can't eviscerate somebody's right to participate, but the problem is where the snag is they haven't really addressed the municipal land use law either and the deadlines that apply there. Mm-hmm. And some of those things that if they're not dealt with in a certain timely fashion, they get granted.
Right.
Most throughout the state, throughout the county, applicants have been reasonable and have agreed to waive those deadlines because, you know, they want a full hearing also.
So I think part of the judgment of the Board of Adjustment, at least, is that typically 18 people is well below what shows up. And as I think as the attorney said, we've always had a 75-person limit. Mm-hmm. If we get 100 people show up, I think they typically adjourn the meeting and find a larger... But that happens every few years, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's more likely to happen with the reduced capacity, but
we think we can move forward.
Mm. Yeah, because that's if the six of us are here and Karen's not, for example, that leaves 12 spots for people to come in.
And as the governor's office said, but they didn't give a timeline, that 25% will be moving up. So the 18% is based on 25% of our 75.
18 people,
sorry. So if they move that to 40, you know, the 18 will start moving up. It won't get to 75, but that'll...
We can tell them to call in.
Over the
week. If they have to leave, they can just go out in their car and call into the line.
Well,
if you want
to... Now I look to the attorney, because I think in those cases, the state hasn't ruled whether that's fully allowable or not to... if you have the right to apply in person.
Yeah, and the thing is it's going to vary as to whether you're giving testimony... And because if it's a testimony, if it's a sworn testimony, the members of the public objectors and the board have a right to cross-examine you, at which point they have a right cross-examine connotes evaluating your credibility. And the argument. We've had hours and hours of government attorney phone calls, conferences on this exact issue. And, you know, other towns have, there have been controversial hundreds of persons wishing to attend meetings that have been dealt with, and quite frankly, the attempts to do so electronically have not been successful. Most of them have been continued by agreement into July. So July is going to be a busy month. But your observation is very duly noted, and it will increase the possibility of that. Hopefully, as the mayor's indicated, as these limitations get less restrictive, the likelihood gets lower. So, but absolutely, it has increased the possibility.
Yeah, because what I want to avoid is this going on when that happens, like that we have to try to work it out here. Like, it's good to just dust it off. We know.
Yeah, like, you know, if it simply gets to 50%, if we can get to 36, it's a lot less likely, but, you know, certainly possible.
Okay.
Okay, I'll just go over my report real quick. The policy procedure manual, I'm this close to being done. Matt, I have to send it to you. There's a lot of comments I have with regards to it because, you know, the COVID and the policy procedures and all. Harassment training, as you know, due to the COVID-19 situation, it's been put on hold. But I did reach out to our senior risk control consultant, and they do not. And I wanted to see if they did harassment training virtually, and they don't. But they will come in, perform training if we can, you know, as long as we practice social distancing. If not, they can do a staggered training to help maintain, you know. So CWA collective negotiations, that we'll speak about that in closed session. I'll probably be starting the monthly staff meetings in July, middle of July, late July. I got a few other things here. Oh, yeah, I've received a few emails with regards to permitting sporting activities to start again in the township. So I'm compiling up a memo that I could send to the residents, Executive Order 152, which is permitting sports activities to move on. And there's certain levels of sporting activities that they allow to start on certain dates. You have high-risk sports like football. That's contact. Medium risk would be canoeing, basketball, softball, track. And then low risk is archery, shooting, cycling events and stuff like that. But they all have different start dates. High risk, contact practices and competitions. This comes from the New Jersey Department of Health. And as long as they follow the CDC guidelines and the NJDOH guidelines, the responsibility would be put on the organizations, not the township. But contact practices and competitions would start July 20th for high risk. Medium risk would start July 6th, and low risk June 22nd. So once I get this done and completed, any member of the public that wants to play softball, I will send this out to them, let them know that. And I'll give you an example of how it would read. It shall be the responsibility of the sports program organizer to ensure compliance of the NJDOH guidance, included but not limited to preparing a program preparation plan following Executive Order Number 152 and screening participant coaches and athletes. And with that, I'll be sending them posters of the guidelines for coaches, guidelines for athletes, and guidelines for the sports itself. So, you know, I figured we'll jump on this right away. Because I did receive several emails with regards to that. And everything else is pretty much in closed session I need to discuss. Also, the bid. Anthony and Slyker bid. It will be out. If it went out today, if not, it's going out tomorrow with an opening date of July 22nd, Wednesday.
And what the public should know, this will basically tear out most of Slyker Road, much of Anthony Road, regrade that... The intersection at Slyker and Anthony. The full plans are available through here in the building. The bid, I talked to Warren about this, the bid will include laying a base layer of material, so if it pushes into the fall, that the first layer of blacktop will get us through the winter, and then the second layer would be through our normal
road program state contract to put the next layer on. So the residents may find in the fall, no idea what date yet, but that those roads are going to be under construction.
And with regards to the reopening of the township, we were having a difficult time getting certain type of supplies, disinfectants and stuff like that. But today, pretty much hit the jackpot. I got more than enough. I got sanitizer. I got masks. We're ordering masks and hand sanitizers. I bought two cases. I'm waiting for the lottery number to come out now. So we should be pretty supplied up pretty good. And I also ordered a little bit more because this is going to go on even further into the fall. So we're pretty good there. So,
since we're on that subject of COVID, and I forgot to ask before, the pavilion, as they open for outdoor gatherings, the 250, then the 500, how is that going to impact us renting out that pavilion? Because I've had people ask me.
I believe we're taking reservations again now that for those limits and the people, I believe, are told that they have to follow the social distancing guidelines in place at the time.
Right. And Eric had sent me an email about how they were handling is that they would open it for the event, then close it once it was done. Mm-hmm. So the bathrooms are only going to be open during rented periods right now.
Okay. So they will open the bathrooms tonight. You don't have to bring it.
No. They'll open it for the events, close it, and then after a period of time, then they'll go back and clean it in preparation for the next one. So same thing as if any of our like EOSC historians or want to use the pavilion mm-hmm. to the events, they can just tell Kim. Then they'll open the bathrooms for them at that period of time too. Close it and take care of cleaning in between those if people want to do meetings not in the building and want to do it outside. Mm-hmm. They'll coordinate that too.
Sounds good. I was thinking about those. You were saying that the parking lot and the capacities in the parking lot and all that comes into play as well.
Yeah, that lot carries 125 cars, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so if there are, say, like, it could be 500 people at an event in particular, then they're
After July 3rd, it's possible.
Yeah.
Any other business before we go to new business? There's one new business item not on the agenda because it came up since then. We have had a clerical support person in the office. If you recall, when the zoning officer scaled back his hours, we got him clerical support. She resigned this week for personal reasons. So I'd like to have the committee authorize advertising for new clerical support for the zoning officer and for general filing. In our salary ordinance, the pay rate would be in a range of $11 to $15 an hour, depending on experience and skill set. Would there be a motion to advertise for that clerical support position?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 And you answered my question. Looking for a name, and I didn't see a name somewhere.
Any other new business anyone has? Otherwise, we're on to presentation of vouchers.
Okay. I only have one that applies. It's from C&M Auto Parts for auto parts, and it's for $1,713.19.
I am reading out Committeeman Wonders as well. He has one for A&K Equipment Company for hand sanitizers, sneeze guards, etc., $1,118. And another one for Patriotic Office Cleaning. This is for the April cleaning for the police department, where we've increased it to three times a week, $1,040. And then my regular, I've got New Jersey Health Benefit Plan Program, the June premium of $32,549.75. Cornerstone Printing for envelopes, mainly related to the estimated tax bill that will be coming out, but general envelopes, $1,019.84. Statewide Insurance Fund, installment number four of the four for workers' compensation and our umbrella assessment in the amount of $50,352.25. And that's what I have.
I have none that apply.
I have one here that's Groendyke Associates, and this is for our volunteer fire accident and sickness policy for $3,560. And the other one is Gebhardt and Kiefer for General May Services.
Just the master volume, because we're getting
for $2,084.
Far right knob at the bottom. Master volume. Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so the total voucher list is $96,955.57. Is there a motion to approve?
I make a motion to approve the voucher list.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Correspondence, curator's report.
Well, we talked about their fine last week. I'm sure that they have on their website now. The curator was really identifying a couple pieces of glass, and they turned out to be a light green, but they were uranium glass. And she wasn't sure.
Right.
So she brought a black light in, and they put it under a black light, and it got this fluorescent day glow green color. Geiger counter didn't register, so everyone's okay, and they made a little video about it, so it should be kind of cool to watch.
You have a Geiger counter
later? No, I'm just kidding. It's negligible, as they said.
I read that, and I'm like, oh, my God, they're glowing.
So anyways, that's just an update, and I think they do have it on the website for people to take a look if interested.
Next, we have the Tax Collector's Monthly Report. For the month ending May 31st, taxes collected for the year 2020, $2,334,114.36. Taxes collected from 2019, $7,023.54. Interest collected of $1,101.84. For total receipts of $2,342,239.74. With that, we would, unless anyone has any other correspondence to highlight, we would open to public comment. There's a motion.
I'll make a motion to open to public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. With that, if any member of the public would like to make a comment, please identify yourself and the road you live on.
Hi, this is Laramie Silver. I live on the Kanetcom River Road. I have two questions this evening. The first, when you were talking about the building capacity and how that would sort of vary as the governor's office reopens the state, depending on how the infection curve goes through the summer, are you going to still be doing the committee meetings by telephone for either people who can't sit in the room because of capacity issues, or have compromised immune systems and don't feel comfortable coming out yet?
I think for the foreseeable future, you're identifying a good point. We will keep the phone line open for the two reasons you state, to anticipate if we have any overflow, and, as you say, for people who don't want to come out. So, yes. But on the other hand, I think into July, and I don't know if it'll be for the July 1st meeting because the building won't be open to the public. We're making sure we've got our internal disinfecting procedures and things, but I would assume by the second meeting in July we'll have the ability to accommodate some number of members of the public in the room.
So that brings up the question. So, Matt, if somebody voluntarily decides to be on the phone instead of being told they can't be in the room, like you remember you were saying it could be a problem if we tell them you can't be in the room, you have to go on the phone because we're over capacity. In certain cases, if somebody wants to volunteer because they don't feel safe being in the room and they decide to call in instead, then we're off the hook for that.
Off the hook for
in
not...
In other words, you're not causing a problem with the sunshine laws. Open public meetings.
Right now, no. Not as... I assume at some point there's going to be a reversion back to pre-COVID rulings, but that hasn't happened yet. We're permitted to do this due to the executive orders and the legislation changes that have occurred. At some point, I presume that's going to sunset.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Like, I don't know, Laramie, were you thinking this was something that you were thinking would go on just during the COVID epidemic or beyond? I just want to clarify what your question was.
Sure. To the COVID epidemic, since we don't know how long that might be, since until someone who has lupus or even chemotherapy, you know, the governor's reopening isn't necessarily going to apply to someone who's personally compromised. Certainly, if the state wanted to revisit the rules on being able to remotely attend meetings, I think we've proven over the last several months that it's a perfectly workable method and makes it much more possible for people who work late hours or have a long commute or have small children to be able to participate. But I suppose that'll be up to the state if they want to continue that.
Yeah, that I agree with that, the point I stated.
And your second point?
I think it's been a great opportunity to prove, though, that it's pretty workable.
I'm glad to hear that from your side it's workable, because, you know, we're kind of talking into the empty room a little bit, so that's good to hear.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see the thing. I don't understand where the problem would be, even if the state said you couldn't do it. Not that we would do this here, but there were towns that do TV, that people can go in and watch the meeting. So.
Oh, yeah. One-sided is, that's a different issue. I mean, providing...
Okay. So
Right.
Okay, that makes sense. It's not Zoom or Cisco
Correct. It's
like
not
that.
It's not contemporaneous external participation. So, but I agree. I mean, we're in uncharted waters. Yeah. There's been things that were feared that haven't been a problem, but there have been issues. We've had some glitches, but we haven't had some of the egregious problems that some towns have had, a lot of times by pranksters, but sometimes even more devious, more you know, intent to convey non-government messages over a large audience, and it's not good. But I agree, we're further into this, and we've figured out a lot of problems, and I anticipate that the back end of it won't be the same as it was coming in, and we can adjust then.
I will admit, from the citizen side, the first couple weeks of the remote meetings, I could not get in. There were glitches with the phone system, but the last couple months have been smooth as anything. The sound quality is great. You know, I'm just seeing all of your smiling faces.
I think the beginning was not even glitches on our end. It was like the system, the phone networks couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
So, did you have?
Well, that all sounds great. The second question I had is, I'm wondering if there is a large construction project somewhere, perhaps near the municipal building or on Hollow Road. We have been on the Connecticut Road getting so much construction traffic coming from 31 and continuing on down toward Changewater, huge dump trucks, massive flatbed trucks with lumber and sheetrock and forklifts actually attached onto the back of the truck. I don't know how they're making it around the curve at Changewater without going through someone's living room. But I wasn't aware of, you know, driving around the township, I hadn't seen any large-scale, you know, dirty house developments going up. So I was curious if you knew about anything or if they're just cutting through.
There's nothing I'm aware of, but my suspicion is that it's related to the closure of 513, because that the posted county detour is way out of the way, and I suspect trucks are finding
other
ways around, and we're following them around and trying to make sure that they're not, you know, violating capacity limits and the like. But I will pass that on to the police department, just to keep an eye over there, if they're not already.
Great, and certainly if they're trying to go across the Point Mountain Bridge up toward 57 or the Changewater Bridge or anything, it could get to be a really bad incident and the
speeding. Yeah, yep.
I'm sure they're trying to make up lost time.
Yeah. All right, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else with a public comment? Hearing none, is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And with that, we will go into executive session. This would be resolution 45-2020. We have three matters One is a personnel matter regarding a tax collector position, and as we stated earlier, there may be action after that. The second is a discussion of the executive session minutes, and there may be action to approve those minutes. And then the third is an update internally on the CWA contract negotiations, where I do not expect action, formal action tonight. Unless anyone has any discussion or comments, is there a motion to go into executive session, Resolution 45, 2020?
I make a motion to go into executive session, Resolution